Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop.
So how often is it that a dog riding in the passenger seat doesn't try to climb into the driver's seat? Has that ever happened? Has a dog riding in the passenger seat ever not tried to climb into the driver's seat?
Yeah, my dogs are pretty good like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. We need some obedience classes. This is not a canine commute podcast, though. This is Cinema Chop Shop, and welcome to it. This is a movie podcast where we concede that remakes are going to happen, so why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
Travanova.
Oh, like Casanova?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I've never heard that one before, but I'm putting it on the list of nicknames. And I will be your host. I'm joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, Infactuation.
That's good.
A.K.A. the Brew Boss. I recently figured out that anything that ends in T-I-O-N or S-I-O-N could be a nickname for you.
Yes.
So I've just got so much in the bag. And in addition, we are extremely excited to welcome back to the show returning frequent guest, Cherub Chelsea.
Aw, Cherub.
It's sweet, isn't it?
It's, yeah.
And
those little dudes that shoot the little...
I'm aware.
Okay.
For the first time ever, if the listeners didn't notice the constant panting in the background, we've got our first doggy guest. She's going to be my Valentine tonight, and it is Free Love Frida. Free Love Frida, because she's all about the love, and she's a good girl.
She's very sweet.
She's a very sweet girl, yes, and she wants my attention constantly, but she's going to have to get over it. Further description of the show, the tagline at the top says, watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts, a.k.a. actors who are
at the height of their powers.
And a quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of remakes. That's not the point of this show. We're trying to have fun. We're kind of poking fun at the remake, reboot, sequel-dependent culture that has permeated cinema today. And so without further ado, we'll get into our first mini-segment, which is movie news. We've just got a couple of items of movie news. As we are approaching the Oscars, the Academy Awards, the 2019 Academy Awards, both of our items are Oscar-related. And so the first one is that there's been a bit of a...
I have, like, literally just popped up on my phone.
Uh-huh.
Everything is airing. They just reversed it.
Oh, well, let me say the thing.
Okay.
So there was significant outrage among Academy members and directors and people whose opinion carries some weight in these matters about the telecast's decision to not include cinematography and editing in the broadcast. They were going to move those to the commercial break time. And a bunch of people were upset about it. Guillermo del Toro spoke out. Also, Alfonso Cuarón. He made a particular point that there's been movies without sound. There's been movies without color. There's been movies without actors. But there's never been a movie without cinematography or editing.
Right.
Those are the two things that are absolutely essential. So that was kind of an upset. But then, Chelsea coming in with the hot take.
I know, right? No, it just popped up on my phone. Cinematography, film editing, live action shorts, and makeup and hairstyling will be seen during the telecast.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Well, good.
Yeah.
So they backpedaled a bit.
They
but
did.
That seems to be a little bit of a trend this year. It's a very unusual Academy Awards, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about the fact that they don't have a actual host. They're going to have multiple, like a montage of hosts. And also in Oscar-related news, Sean, I'll let you take this one.
Remind me of what it was.
The great state of New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The great state of New Jersey will be the first state to accept wagering on the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
So you can now place your bets.
So I wonder if this is kind of a continuation of the legalization of sports betting. Because that was something that happened recently, right? Nationwide sports betting became legal. Isn't that a thing? Dana, get back to us on that. I really haven't had a game in a while. All right. So that will wrap us up on movie news. And that will bring us, speaking of Dana, I hear the phone ringing right now. It's time for the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
Alrighty, Rue Choppers. Max Dugan Returns was not a Disney movie. It was produced by 20th Century Fox. The average life expectancy of a trash panda is 2 to 3 years in the wild, but they can live up to 20 years in captivity. Makes sense. There's nobody to run over them or hit them with a BB gun in captivity. Laura Dern's character in Jurassic Park was a grad student studying paleobotany. Lucas Haas was in Mars Attacks, and Rise of the Guardians was a film. Never fear, Sean. Dairy Girls will have a season 2. I'm not sure when it'll end up on Netflix, but Channel 4 says it's coming sometime in March. I haven't watched it yet, but I plan to. I want to see how well I understand it without any potential subtitles. On to the next. Hope y'all had a happy VD.
All right. Thank you very much, Dana. I appreciate that. And I'm no stoolie, but I do want to point out that all of those mistakes were Sean the Brew Boss's mistakes.
I don't think so.
Pretty close. The majority of them. Let's not get into semantics here.
Let's agree to disagree.
All right. So let's get into the theme of the episode. And that will be Valentine's Day movies. This is the second annual edition of our Valentine's themed podcast episode. And last year we did Shout Art at Your Sweetheart, and we had a couple of newlyweds on the show. McJunkin and his lovely wife, Rebecca, were our guests that day. And today it's not going to be quite as intimate. It's not going to be quite as sensual. But we will talk about some Valentine's-themed movies. Is that right? Do you guys have any particular feelings about the holiday, Valentine's Day?
I'm not a fan.
Not a fan. Okay.
I like it when my son gets me Valentine's.
Ah, very good.
I got a mood watch that has a llama on it.
Okay.
It's amazing.
That's very specific. This is your llama mood watch.
Yeah, it's
Happy
awesome.
Valentine's Day.
Right?
Wonderful. All right, so Sean, not a fan. Any particular reason?
Nah, it's just a
Hallmark holiday?
It's a Hallmark holiday, exactly. It's been co-opted by greeting card companies and candy companies mm-hmm. and immense
Flower.
Pressure.
Florists.
Yeah, and immense pressure put on to, hook up and pair up and mm-hmm. then buy each other some shit.
Although, if you are hooking up at midnight on Valentine's Day, that lets you know what you're going to be doing for the rest of the year. No, I'm thinking of New Year's Eve. I'm sorry. That's a callback to a previous episode. So let's go ahead and get into our next segment, which is a really fun one. It's a segment called the Midnight Double Feature. And this is where we go around the panel, and Rita already told me hers. I'll relay them to you. And we each name two movies that are within the theme of the episode and somewhat related to each other. And we try to kind of explain how they're related and why they should be shown back to back in a double feature format. All right, so who would like to go first with their double feature? I will go first with mine because my lovely wife, Michelle, could not be here tonight. Unfortunately, she's passed on to doing her homework this evening.
Wow.
No, she's fine.
She dark.
She just didn't care for the movie selections tonight, which is why Frida is my Valentine. So my first movie, both of these are films that my wife finds very romantic. And the first is The Notebook from 2004. It was directed by Nick Cassavetes, who, as it turns out, is John Cassavetes' son. Did not realize that. Pretty cool. It's got a 53% on Rotten Tomatoes. About right. Could be a little bit higher considering its kind of cultural impact, I think. A lot of people have seen this on a date night. It's based on a story by Nicholas Sparks.
Ugh.
And They threw up in their mouths a little bit. And it stars Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams. And it's told through a series of flashbacks. And towards the end of the movie, there's a big reveal that I will not spoil for the listeners. If you have not seen The Notebook, go do that. All right. And the other one that I'm going to pair with that is from 2005, just 1 year later. And it was directed by Joe Wright. It's got an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's called Pride and Prejudice. And like I said, this is the 2005 version, based on the novel by Jane Austen. It stars Keira Knightley and Matthew McFadden as Darcy.
Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Darcy. Yes. Also, Rosamund Pike shows up, which is pretty cool. And so these movies are very different, but also very similar in that they're all about kind of the struggle of love and trying to make it past certain like boundaries and milestones, but they're also set in very different eras. One is a much more modern story. One is much more of a classical setting. So that's my tie that binds, other than the fact that my lovely wife, Michelle, finds both of these movies very romantic. All right, so who's next?
I'll go, and I want to point out that Frida is staring very intensely at Chelsea during a lot of this.
Cherub Chelsea. She's like, who is that woman in my daddy's presence?
All right, so my first pick is from 2014. It was directed and written by Gillian Robespierre. Based on a Karen Main story, it's called Obvious Child.
Oh, I love this.
It stars Jenny Slate and Jake Lacy and Gabby Hoffman, not mm-hmm. Abby Hoffman.
Gabby Hoffman, yeah.
And it's a story about a 20-something comedian who kind of hooks up with a guy and has an unplanned pregnancy, and mm-hmm. she has to face up with those realities of being an independent woman.
Yes.
Going through those kind of big choices.
Now, did you just say not Abby Hoffman because on a previous episode yes. I said Abby Hoffman yes. instead of Gabby Hoffman?
Yes.
You son of a bitch.
It's a callback. I'm sorry.
He's a little salty.
But I like this film. I like it a lot. It's Jenny Slate does a great job in a leading role. And that leads me to my next pick, okay. which is, since that was such a female-heavy perspective, the follow-up will be number 2016's Joshy.
Okay, yeah.
Written and directed by Jeff Baena, starring Thomas Middleditch of yes. Silicon Valley.
Yeah,
and
probably his only leading role in a movie so far.
Yeah, Adam Pally's in it.
Pally. Just remember, he's your pal.
Pally won a cracker. Nick Kroll's in it, and Jenny Slate is in mm-hmm. it. And it's about a guy whose engagement suddenly ends, and he and his friends have to take advantage of what's supposed to have been the bachelor party in Ojai, yeah. California.
It's kind of a mumblecore movie.
It is very much a shoegazer, mumblecore kind of film.
It's not Joe Swanberg, is it? Is that the director?
No. Okay. Jeff Baena.
Okay.
But, you know, they have a big raucous weekend filled with drugs, booze, and debauchery, but there's a little bit of romance in there, too.
I think
unexpected
that
romance.
Maybe the director of this also did a movie called Digging for Fire. I might be wrong, but they're both in that kind of mumblecore genre and feature some of the same group of actors, adjacent actors. Very nice. I like the pairing. All right, moving it along to Cherub Chelsea.
I'm pretty excited about my double feature.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I think it's genius.
Okay.
Basically.
It's also very modest.
Yes, I agree.
I'm clearly humble. I picked 2002's About a Boy with Hugh Grant and Nicholas Hoult.
Okay, Nicholas Hoult. He's come up recently.
Right. And I want to pair that with 2014's St. Vincent.
Oh, St. Vincent is so good.
So good.
The original title was St. Vincent of Van Nuys or something yeah. like that, but they shortened it to just St. Vincent. Bill Murray and who else? Who
Melissa
else
McCarthy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
And who was the boy? Because he's gone on to do some other things as well.
Jaden Lieberher? I don't know how you say
doesn't
that.
Doesn't ring a bell.
I know,
but
right?
I feel like he's
looks
done some
familiar.
Other things. Yeah. So what's the basic premise of this one?
So basically, Melissa McCarthy is a working mom, mm-hmm. and she needs a sitter, and Bill Murray's character lives next door.
Yes.
And he's just this grumpy old man.
Yes.
And he babysits. Uh-huh. And kind of becomes this role model for the kid who can see this good in him
yep.
that nobody else can. And I don't know. It's cute.
This movie is great. And I will tell you right now, it's one of the few movies recently that's made me cry.
Oh, so good.
The end where he's doing his presentation.
Oh, I bawled like a baby.
Yeah, it's good. Very nice. And did you tell us the other one?
Oh, yeah. It's about a boy. It's kind of
about
like
a boy and St. Vincent.
Yeah, right, similar cool. thing about, you know, these young boys mm-hmm. who find these unlikely role models. And
so I have an idea what your inspiration was for picking these two movies.
Oh, absolutely.
And would you like to?
It's because of my son.
Very good.
Yeah.
He's your Valentine.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You were saying earlier that you like it when your son gives you Valentine. Mm-hmm. So that's very cool. I heard that they're not doing the regular sweethearts this year. You know what I'm talking about? The sweetheart candies?
I didn't see them.
I saw an article or something, or a headline that said they're not doing those. But there's other candy companies that are doing their own with like really hip lit phrases on them.
Oh God.
Like it's like Sour Patch Kids hearts. I'm woke.
Hot AF.
Yes. So that will wrap us up for Midnight Double Feature. That was a good round of it. I feel the love, you guys.
Right?
I really do. And so does Priya. She's just feeling it. She is staring down Chelsea.
I feel like we have a connection.
Just wait till she bites you.
She will not. She's a good
she
girl.
Would never.
All right. So after the Midnight Double Feature, it's time for us to get into our feature segment. And this is called the Recast. This is where we take a movie within the theme of the episode and we hypothetically recast the lead roles with contemporary actors. And the first one that we're going to give the recast treatment to will be Picnic at Hanging Rock from, I didn't write it down, is it 1975?
1975.
It's directed by Peter Weir. He has some pretty decent movies under his belt. He did The Last Wave. He also directed Gallipoli and A Year of Living Dangerously. Some heavy hitter titles, and it's got a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, I should go ahead and say right here at the top that this has been remade as a TV miniseries, I believe.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Hulu or something like that. There was a miniseries based on this with contemporary actors, but I did not look at any of those actors for my recasts, and I certainly hope none of you did as well, either. None of you did either? I hope none of you did that shit. All right. So we've got three roles we're going to recast. We've got Anne Louise Lambert as Miranda St. Clair. We've got Rachel Roberts as Mrs. Appleyard. And we've got Dominic Guard as Michael Fitzhubert. And we should say that it's set in Australia, in the state of Victoria. Yeah. In Victoria, Australia. And it's about a girls' school that goes on their annual Valentine's picnic. And then what happens, Sean?
They're warned when they leave, you know, watch out for snakes. Mm-hmm. Watch out for poisonous ants.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Don't wander off.
Get back for dinner. Don't wander off. And they get up there, and the girls begin to feel this supernatural call.
This very, like, force of nature.
Yeah.
From almost like a cosmic vibration.
From the Hanging Rock. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned before we started that the Hanging Rock shots, when it's giving us a supernatural call, almost has, like, a very phallic kind of shot.
Yeah,
going.
Okay.
They are also joined, coincidentally, by a wealthy group of Englanders mm-hmm. Who are picnicking as well. They have like an Aussie guide that's like a...
like their tour guide.
Not even really tour guide. He's just kind of like their butler, but attendant, whatever.
Okay.
And the young man that we're going to be recasting, he is kind of infatuated with a lot of these girls. And
concierge.
And thank you. And he kind of wants to get close to them as well. And he gets sucked into this supernatural call of Hanging Rock. And long story short, several of them go missing and don't make the return trip to the college. They begin searching for them, and things just get really weird. Chelsea, you told me that this is considered to be like one of the most important pieces of Australian literature. Is this?
Yeah, it's based on a book, right?
It is. And the movie, much like the book, totally like leaves you guessing.
Yeah, so the author of the book, and I didn't write down her name, but
it's Joan Lindsay.
Joan Lindsay left it very ambiguous in like public appearances and when she was talking about her inspiration, whether or not these events actually occurred.
Right, but her, I think it was her publisher, she had a conclusion.
Okay.
And the publisher was like, no, we're going to take this out.
Oh,
and
I just think to leave it with like a cliffhanger.
Yeah. And I think after she died, the last chapter was released as its own thing. And it is bizarre.
Okay.
It is so wackadoodle.
Interesting.
I want to see that movie.
Yeah. Or just like, I would like to read that last chapter.
Well, I want to go and watch the TV series because I think that they folded some of that into.
Oh, interesting.
They have to because, yeah.
All right.
I won't give anything away, but it's crazy.
All right. So, listeners, if you have not seen Picnic at Hanging Rock, any version of it, video, movie, print, check this shit out because it's pretty weird. All right. Let's get into our recasting of this one. The first role is the role of Miranda St. Clair, and she's kind of our main character, right? She's
Is she the pretty blonde?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's the main character in that she's the object of desire for Michael Fitzhubert.
Okay.
But she doesn't really have a lot to do with the film after the disappearance.
Okay.
But she does play a big part in that Fitzhubert goes after the girls because he was really into her.
Right. All right. So since I've already got my visual up, I'll go ahead and reveal my first pick. Her name is Natasha Bassett. She is 21 now, as opposed to the original actress is 19 years old. She played Britney Spears in the Britney Spears biopic, Britney Ever After.
Oh my gosh.
She also was in Hail Caesar and House by the Lake. So Natasha Bassett.
Nice.
And she is an Australian actress.
Oh.
Yeah. Who's next?
I don't know. You ready for a lecture?
I guess so.
Okay. I am protesting.
Because?
I did not recast because in the title of your show, you say we take iconic roles.
Okay.
And I literally, like, Sean told me this was mean, but I pulled up the definition of iconic because I don't agree.
I said sometimes they're iconic.
No.
It says sometimes iconic roles.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, so, I don't.
You didn't recast this role?
I didn't recast any of them.
Oh,
at all? Well, because I don't think there's anything iconic about what we had to recast.
Okay, so Frida decided that for her pick, she was also she was also going to pick somebody with the last name Bassett because she really likes
Basset Hounds.
She's going with Angela Bassett. She doesn't see age or color.
Love it.
Good for you, Frida.
I love it.
Good for you.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you what my theme is. All of my recasts are podcasters.
Oh, very good.
Kind of a Valentine's, sharing some love with our podcasters.
It's your Valentine's card to them.
So in the role of Miranda, I am picking Aaron Welsh.
Okay.
Aaron Welsh is the co-host of This Podcast Will Kill You.
Best podcast ever.
She is a disease ecologist and an epidemiologist. Her specialty is tick-borne disease transmission.
Oh, good.
Which I thought was kind of relevant.
Like Lyme disease?
Because they were talking about, they were talking about the poisonous ants and the snakes that were being dangerous. I thought she'd be a good fit. Also, she loves bourbon and sour beers.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's Aaron Welsh.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. All right, and next up, we've got Mrs. Appleyard. She's the teacher at the school, right? She's like the headmistress at the girls' school. And she was played originally by Rachel Roberts, who was 48 at the time. And so...
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was 48.
Wow.
And she played it very old.
And my actress is also an Australian actress, and she's been in movies like The Babadook.
I love that movie.
She's in Game of Thrones, and she also had a small part in Girl with a Pearl Earring. Her name is Essie Davis. Essie Davis.
Very nice.
It's going to be my pick for Mrs. Appleyard. Nice. Sean?
All right, so my pick, and this is what started me on this podcast thing, because it's a face value pick. She is 48 years old. 48? No, she's gonna be 49 very shortly. And she is the co-host of My Favorite Murder.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Karen Kilgariff.
Very nice.
Who bears a striking resemblance.
Yeah, I can see that. For wow. sure.
Yes.
One of our peers.
And she's great. And she's funny. She can act. If you've had a chance ever to see her on any of her other television shows she's appeared on.
She's also on another podcast with Doug Benson called Dining with Doug and Karen. It's a foodie podcast.
Oh, and she's also in the podcast Do You Need a Ride?
I didn't know about that
one. Yeah, that's where they offer rides to comedians to the airport and back, and they just do a podcast from the car.
Oh, that's cool.
Very improv-y, very funny.
It's like an Uber podcast.
Kind of like the Jerry Seinfeld.
Comedians in cars getting coffee.
Something like that.
All right. And so, Frida, what was your pick for Mrs. Appleyard? Go ahead and tell me. All right. So she says that her pick is Apple Bottom Jeans, which isn't an actress, but in all fairness, she's a dog. Yeah. So
she's so cute.
Yeah. I love you, baby. All right. Next up, we've got the final role of Michael Fitzhubert.
Yes.
Fitzhubert. And he's one of the people that they encounter on their picnic, right? He's part of the other group.
He's the proper Brit that's, wealthy. And
he becomes infatuated with the Miranda character and also gets taken in by this supernatural force, whatever it is. And he was originally played by Dominic Guard, who was 19 at the time. And Sean, go ahead and give us your Michael Fitzhubert.
So my pick's a lot older than that, but he has a very boyish look, and he has an obsession and fascination with the supernatural himself. Mm-hmm. On his podcast, last podcast
oh,
on
I got
the
it.
Left.
I got it.
I'm going with Marcus Parks.
Oh, I thought Ooh. You were going the Zabrowski route.
No, we've used Zabrowski. I'm not going nice. To use him. But yeah, Marcus Parks is great. He does the heavy lifting on that show. If you've ever wondered who does all the research,
yeah.
This is the guy that really immerses himself mm-hmm. in those subjects.
Very cool. I feel like I get your theme, but we're also like talking too much about other people's podcasts.
That's okay. Maybe they'll return the favor one day.
Maybe. Ooh. Our peers. It could be like a professional courtesy. So for the role of Michael Fitzhubert, I picked an actor who is 25 now. He's a little bit older, but he can play younger. He was in The Fallen. He's also in Upgrade. And he was in the movie Need for Speed with the kid from Breaking Bad. It's like a race car movie. His name is Harrison Gilbertson. Harrison Gilbertson
Ooh.
Is going to be my
Ooh, yeah.
Michael Fitzhubert.
I could see that.
So, Sean, before we started, you were talking about how this rock was very, like, male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about the scene where he gets, like, called into the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes into, like, a cave
It's thing. A cave. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it just kind of hit me, and I was like, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Now, that does make sense. The girls were pulled by the big, tall,
yes.
spire-like mm-hmm. rocks. And then mm-hmm. when he got suckered in, it was going into the cave.
Mm-hmm.
So the subtext, I guess, is sex.
A little bit.
Right?
Well,
or
it'll
the
become
taboo,
clear.
The well, taboo of sex.
In a setting of 1900,
yeah.
that's very much a taboo. And, you know, it's funny you should mention that. When the guys were looking at the girls frolicking in the water or whatever, they're like, check out her legs. And all you could see was, like, her ankle
Ankles,
down,
yeah.
you know.
Well, and he was so appalled by that. He was like, stop being so vulgar.
Right, right. So, yeah, there's definitely some symbolism intended by the author, I would think.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Frida, your Michael Fitzhubert, you wrote down Harrison Ford, which I think you were just copying the Harrison Gilbertson of my pick, but it's all good. At least you got a person this time. Good girl. Good girl. All right. Anything else we need to say about Picnic at Hanging Rock? Do we recommend it?
I recommend it just because it's a different film.
It's very different, especially for 1975 and for the setting, right? For the 1900s. I didn't rewatch it for this episode, but I had seen it about a year ago as one of my 2018 movie marathon check-ins, and I was kind of blown away by how weird it was for the time period. Mm-hmm. All right, well, with that, we will go ahead and head into intermission, but not before saying,
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves some
chocolate.
Box of chocolates.
All right, Cinema Chop Shoppers, this is your host Travis, just chiming in here at intermission to remind you about our online presence. We are on Facebook. We're facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We post things about upcoming episodes as well as the Chop Shopper Challenge, where you, the listeners, can pick some roles to recast yourselves. We're also on Twitter. We do some similar things on there. The Chop Shopper Challenge check-ins. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. If you ever want to comment on the show, that would be a good place to do it, as well as our email address. We are cinemachopshop@gmail.com, and we take suggestions for future episodes and any sort of commentary on the show. If you have corrections, if you notice some things that I say that might not necessarily be true, please let us know about that, because we do, the Department of Corrections Department. Once again, thank you, the listeners, for bearing with us during the intermission, and thank you for listening to the show. Remember, you can rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, or like us on whatever platform it is that you listen to your podcasts. And also, please remember to watch, shop, retrofit. All right. Welcome back, guys. Thank you for bearing with us during intermission. Frida had to pee in the yard because she knows what's up. And when we come back from intermission, we like to do our beer check-ins.
I drank beer with my friends. Sometimes I had too many beers. I liked beer. I still like beer. Had beers, have some beers. One beer, drink beer, drinks beer, drank beer and drinking beer.
And Sean, you've got a couple for us today, a few. For us today.
I do.
And they are a collaboration beer from Highwire, in which they collaborated with three different breweries.
That's correct.
And also, we should point out the can art. What did you want to say about the can art?
Well, I picked these because they're kind of on theme, because this is when breweries come together.
Nice.
Which is a very Valentine's kind of sentiment.
That is sensual.
And the cans look like a can of Krylon spray paint.
I don't know what that has to do with Valentine's Day.
No, that has more to do with just pretty cool. The artwork looks really cool, because each of the three collaborating breweries are featured with their little icons. So pretty smart.
So the first one we're going to try is which?
This is the Hoppy Pilsner with Rheingeist Brewery.
Rheingeist.
Yeah, and I did not take the time to look up Rheingeist to see where they were from. But this is a Pilsner that has Ella, Vic Secret, and Motuka hops.
Never heard of Motuka. It tastes really good, though.
Yeah, as Pilsners go, I mean, it's a fun one. I think it's
very drinkable. Very quaffable. All right, so while we're enjoying that, we should go ahead and get into our 2019 movie marathon check-ins. And, Sean, it is the 46th day of the year, and I'm on number 48. What are you on?
I am on 56.
56?
Yes.
All right. So my first one is going to be a documentary that I saw, and it was a subject that's very near and dear to my heart. It is Freaks and Geeks, the documentary.
Yeah.
That's actually the title. It came out in 2018, and it was just awesome. It goes in depth into the production, talking to the creators, Paul Feig and Judd Apatow, and also interviews with all of the cast members. Such a great show. And also for the listeners, if you haven't seen Freaks and Geeks, check it out. And if you like it, or if you have seen it and like it, go on to watch the follow-up series, Undeclared. It's kind of like Freaks and Geeks Go to College. So that's my recommendation on that.
Cool. My first one today will be Chungking Express from 1994. This was featured last week on the Criterion Channel.
Oh, okay.
Lead up to their release of the full app. Two melancholy Hong Kong policemen fall in love, one with a mysterious female underworld figure, the other with a beautiful and ethereal server at a late night restaurant he frequents. By restaurant, it's like a takeout counter.
And, okay.
Both of the officers frequent this place, and it's the central location for the film. And it's quirky. It's really quirky. The underworld story is kind of neat. Very, very typical of the mid-90s Asian film culture. They seem fascinated with people who are like mafiosos or drug dealers, people on the run kind of thing. And so that was the first setting. The second is this very bubbly, ethereal kind of girl who falls for one of the other cops and insinuates herself into his life in the most unexpected way by taking a key that was intended for his ex-girlfriend and letting herself into his apartment while he's at work and just hanging out. And then gradually she starts making changes to the apartment, adding fish to the aquarium, putting out pictures, changing...
Very subtle changes.
Changing towels, changing coffee cups for his toothbrushes to go in. And this guy, it's cute and kind of very refreshing film.
All right. Well, my next one is going to be number 46. And it is a movie that somehow I had never seen. And... it's called The Red Violin from 1998. Have either of you seen this?
No.
Oh, man. It is a very romantic historical drama. I don't want to say too much about it because it'll give stuff away, but you really just have to watch every portion because, well, I'll tell you what I said. My lovely wife, Michelle, was shocked that I had never seen this movie, but I must admit it's an enthralling story that spans many generations. So the story is about this particular violin, which is like a masterpiece. It's the last violin made by this master, and you find out why it's the last one in the movie, but also it gets handed down through various circumstances through generations, and it's just a really, really cool story. All right, Sean, what's your next one?
I checked in last year's release of Bumblebee of the Transformers universe.
Okay. Yeah.
And I had heard from lots and lots of people to give this movie a shot. Don't let the Michael Bay
taint
your opinion of this film going into it. And in my review, I said it's amazing what 100% less Bay will do to a Transformers.
So he wasn't involved?
No, not at all. And this is actually set in 1987.
Nice.
Bumblebee's arrival to planet Earth and why he was there, how he came to be. Hailee Steinfeld is the lead actress in this. John Cena's in it. He plays like a military dude who's trying to understand what's going on.
Cool.
Travis Knight's the director.
Okay.
And the soundtrack is great. Being mid to late 80s, there's some
really
cool
music. So they kind of
set
it in the time period where Transformers were super popular.
Oh, yeah. And there's a nod to the original in the film because Bumblebee can't speak because his voice...
is so bumbled?
No.
Is his name Mumblebee?
No. No. His robotic voice modulator or whatever was destroyed.
Oh, okay.
And so the only way he can communicate is through the car stereo that's built into him. And
which also, isn't that what he transforms into?
Yeah, a Beetle, a Volkswagen
okay,
Beetle.
I was thinking for some reason it was like a boombox or something.
No, that was a different one.
Okay.
That's the bad guy.
Oops.
Anyway, so at one point he plays the You've Got the Touch, You've Got the Power from the Transformers movie in
okay.
the film, and that's a nod to the originals.
Transformers the movie.
Yes.
Cool. Not really cool, but yeah. All right, so my final check-in is going to be the most recent movie I've seen, Mary, Queen of Scots, from 2018. Michelle and I had the opportunity to see this at the Nickelodeon Theater. They were showing this, and they were also showing The Favorite, and we opted to go see The Favorite, which was fine. It wasn't my favorite, but it was a decent movie. Mary, Queen of Scots, having seen it now, is a superior film.
Is it now?
It's so good. I at least enjoyed it far more.
And
it's only gotten like one Oscar nomination.
And for costumes,
right? Costumes. Okay. Whereas The Favorite has gotten, you know, a ton. They're one of the front runners this year in nominations. So my official review, I have to admit, even though it did not receive nearly as many Oscar nods, I enjoyed this much more than The Favorite from 2018. All right, have you got one more, or is that all of it for both of us?
No, I got one more. I watched this yesterday. This was released this week on the Criterion Channel. They did a double feature honoring Albert Finney.
Oh, nice.
The recently departed Rest Albert Finney. And so the first one is called Saturday Night and Sunday Morning. It's Albert Finney's debut role. And it's 1960, black and white film, gorgeous slice of life film. Co-stars Rachel Roberts, incidentally, who we just talked about in Picnic at Hanging Rock. She plays one of his love interests. He is a carousing drunkard. He works really hard at the factory on his lathe. But when he clocks out, he goes to the bar. He gets a little liquored up. He kind of gets a little rough and tumble with, you know, the boys. And he likes to, you know, hit on the women. And so he actually has two romances in this film. One is with a married woman. And then the other, I think he gets pregnant, and I have to deal with that bit of issue. But great, great movie. I liked it a lot, and I'd never heard of it. And Albert Finney was a devilishly handsome guy at that early stage of his career.
For listeners who are not members of the Criterion Channel, this movie is on YouTube in its entirety. Now, the quality is like 720 or something like that. It's not going to be nearly the quality that you'd get from that service, but it is on there.
I would recommend watching it for
sure. On the subreddit are full movies on YouTube. That is one of the ones that's listed.
Very cool.
All right, so we just cracked open another one of these Highwire collabs. What is this one?
This is the No Coast IPA. It's a collaboration with Monday Night Brewing out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Ah, okay.
And it is double dry hopped with Idaho 7,
Idaho,
Citra, El Dorado, and Amarillo.
How do I know? Because you told me so.
Citra, El Dorado, and Amarillo hops. So these are all fun, good hops that are quite citrusy, and it's reflected in the taste of the beer.
It's delicious. Mm-hmm. Very good. All right, so we have one more beer to check in, but we will get to that as we open it, right? And so the next thing we're going to do is the second part of our feature segment. This is The Recast Continued.
Part two.
The sequel.
Redux.
And movie number two is from 1981, and it is a very Canadian film. It's called My Bloody Valentine. It was directed by George Mihalka. It's got a 47% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's set in a small Canadian mining town.
It was shot in Nova Scotia.
Okay. And the basic premise is there was a tragedy that happened in the mine years and years ago, where a couple of the mine foremen left early to go to the Valentine's dance, and they left people in the mine, and there was an explosion that left people trapped in the mine, and the lone survivor resorted to cannibalism to survive. And flash forward 20 years, the mayor has reinstated the Valentine's dance, and wait, Sean,
I just thought it was the dumbest premise, by the way. We can't have a Valentine's dance because he might come back.
Right. So there is this there is this killer that he's referred to as the Miner. They say his name in the movie. I can't recall the name. I think it's Henry something. And he's just killing people in that mine. So after the Valentine's dance, this group of teenagers decides to go and have a party in the mine shaft. And the rest of the movie is them trying to escape this killer, the killer miner.
I have to say, one cool thing about
this... There was a lot of good kills in it.
There were. This is right in the thick of the slasher flick craze. But one thing that I did like about this film, anytime there was a kill from the killer... They switched their film and lens, and everything about how they shot it was different.
Okay.
Did you notice that?
I did not.
Like, the film grain is a lot grainier. The lighting is a lot starker. And I would like to know what they used, because it seems like the whole perspective changes. And that was a conscious choice from the director and the cameraman.
I do know that it faced a lot of censorship issues upon its initial release.
Oh, yeah?
And that it wasn't until the 2000s that it was actually released in its unedited form, or the uncut form. And the day after it was released in its unedited form in 2009, the remake came out. And so that was kind of a planned marketing thing, I'm sure. All right, so we've got three roles. And these three roles are kind of the main characters, but they're also in somewhat of a love triangle, if I'm correct. First one is T.J. Haniger. He is the mayor's son, and he was originally portrayed by Paul Kellman. Then we've got Sarah Mercer, the character Sarah Mercer, who was portrayed by Laurie Hallier. Hallier?
Sure.
Hallier? It might be Hallier. They are in Canada.
I think she was from Vancouver, so let's go with Hallier.
Okay. And then finally, Axel Palmer. Axel Palmer.
Portrayed by Neil Affleck. Oh, you want me to do it?
Yeah.
You know what you are? You're in the mine shaft, baby! You're gonna die!
All right, so he was portrayed by Neil Affleck, no relation, who was 22 at the time. And let's go ahead and get into our recasts of this movie. I will go first. My T.J. Haniger, originally portrayed by Paul Kellman, who was 26 at the time, is an actor who was in 10,000 Saints... He's also in a movie called Paper Year and another movie called The Drowning. He is a Canadian actor named Avon Jogia.
Avon Jogia
is going to be my Paul Kellman. Excuse me, my T.J. Haniger.
I like it. The original actor reminded me of like a cross between the dude from Jackass.
Johnny Knoxville?
Johnny Knoxville, okay. And what's his face from Old School?
What's his face from Old
and School? And Swingers.
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, yeah. Okay. I was drawing a complete blank on the name. I apologize.
I think that he probably would appreciate the fact that of the two movies he's done in his career, you called up Old School and Swingers.
Yeah. You know. All right. So my pick, incidentally, his initials are TJ.
Ooh.
He is Canadian.
Uh-oh.
He's been in Supernatural, the TV series. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people would pick up on that. Chelsea will know him from the TV series Letterkenny. I'm going to the Letterkenny well twice in a row, 2 weeks in a row. He plays Stuart, the tweaker. I'm going with Tyler Johnston.
Love it.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say T.J. Miller.
No T.J. Miller. No.
All right, that's cool. And next up, we've got Sarah Mercer. And, sorry.
What does Frida want to pick?
She agrees. TJ Miller.
TJ Miller. Okay, good.
All right. So next up, we've got Sarah Mercer portrayed, and aptly played by Lori Hallier. And Sean, you go first with this one.
Okay. My actress is, incidentally, from Nova Scotia.
Okay.
Ooh.
Where this film was shot. She was in a movie called The Witch Files from last year. Which I've not seen, nor have I heard of it. She is currently filming a TV series called The Unsettling. And she's been in a couple of episodes of The Good Doctor, but she was on the TV series The Americans from start to finish as the daughter. Her name is Holly Taylor.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Holly Taylor.
Cool.
She's 22.
All right. Well, my actress is 17 now. She's 1 year older than the original actress. She was only 16.
Yikes.
In the original. And she has been in Orphan, we mentioned last week. She's also in Resident Evil Retribution. She's a Canadian actress, not Australian. She's a Canadian actress named Ariana Engineer is going to be my Sarah Mercer.
Well, she looks like a sweet girl.
Yeah. Orphan and Resident Evil Retribution.
What is free to pick? A begging strip?
Snossage. She's saying Johnny Mercer, who is a singer and he's deceased. Frida, I don't think you understand the format of the show. She's doing her best, though. She's
doing a wonderful job.
Good girl.
She's being a great guest.
All right. Finally, we've got the role of Axel Palmer. He's in the mine shaft. He's gonna die. And he was 22 years old. And so I will go first with mine. My actor is a French Canadian. He's mostly in French language movies.
Gross.
I don't know why you think that's gross.
It's a Canadian
French
thing.
French Canadian.
He's in a movie called It's Not Me, I Swear. He's also in a movie called The Sound of Trees, not to be confused with The Happening. And also, he's in a movie called The Little Girl Who Was Too Fond of Matches. I'm going to butcher this last name. His name is Antoine Lecuyer. Antoine Lecuyer. It's spelled L'Ecurer. And he's a French-Canadian actor.
Nice.
Gross.
Before I give my final pick, I will talk about the last beer of the evening. This is their collaboration with Revelry.
Ah.
From Charleston, South Carolina.
Whoop, whoop.
This is a blonde brunch stout.
Okay.
As you can see.
A blonde and a stout.
It's a stout, but
I've never heard of this before.
Dark colored.
Very interesting. I want to try that.
It is brewed with vanilla, cinnamon, cacao, lactose, and coffee. So, in my opinion, it's the best of the bunch.
Okay,
so
I'd like to try that. And
Chelsea, would you mind? Thank you.
Cherub Chelsea passes that over. Frida can't decide between Arnold Palmer and Laura Palmer. And I hate to break it to you, Frida. One of them's a golfer and one of them is a fictional character. But you're doing a great job. Yes, yes, you are. Yes. Good girl.
All right, so my final pick is from Toronto, Canada.
Woo woo. Andrew!
And he was in People Hold On, 3 Inches, Strange Days at Blake High. But most people will know him from Schitt's Creek. He plays Patrick, the partner in the apothecary store that they opened.
Oh, okay.
And he looks creepy in his headshot.
Yeah, yeah.
He totally does.
I think he could be our tunnel killer.
All right. Wait. Never mind.
What? Huh?
I thought...
Axel's the killer.
I didn't think he was the killer.
Yeah.
I thought it was the killer was from 20 years ago.
But no, he's the new killer because the other dude died.
Shit.
Sorry, folks. I'm spoiling a film that came out in 1981.
Apparently, I should have paid closer attention to My Bloody Valentine. So that's
and
what you were saying about how he's not going to die.
And then he doesn't die because in the film, they collapse the mine on him. And then he cuts his own arm off and leaves. And as he's like retreating on the other side of the cave-in, he says something stupid like, "I'm going to get you all," or something really lame.
Does he say, "You're in the mine shaft, you're going to die"? All right. So I think that's plenty to say about My Bloody Valentine. Chelsea, you had something you wanted to say, right?
No.
Some form of protest?
No, I'm still protesting. Nothing about this film is iconic. It's already been remade. Ugh.
All right.
That's what I have to say.
Fair enough. You got a little bit on your chin there. So with that, we will go into our final bonus segment. And this week, it's going to be a battle royale. And the
Hollywood heartthrobs.
Yes. The suggested theme is Hollywood heartthrobs. And so we're going to go kind of a diverse group. I mean, they're all white dudes, but George Clooney, Bradley Cooper, and Bradley Pitt. So out of those three, in a fight to the death in a back alley where only one can leave, who's going to win? Chelsea?
Ugh. I pick Frida.
Frida would win.
She would. I can't. No, I can't be on board with any of them. And
it's definitely not Bradley Cooper.
Oh, no. I watched A Star is Born.
And?
Horrible.
You hated it.
I hated it.
Wow.
It was disgusting.
And why did you steal my voice?
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So, in my opinion, I'm going with Brad Pitt on this one. Because he's got... He's got the experience of having to deal with Angelina Jolie and all those adopted babies. Also, he's got stoner power behind him. He's a registered stoner. And I think that's going to give him the creative juices and the kind of aura that he needs to survive this encounter.
I'm going to go Clooney.
You're going Clooney?
I'm going to go Clooney.
He's a little bit old.
I know he's a bit old, but he's...
He's going to be too tired. He's a new dad.
No.
His new wife, what's her name? She's amazing.
Amal something Clooney.
She is like far more qualified than him in like almost every aspect. All right, so you're going Clooney.
Yeah, I'm going to go Clooney.
Okay.
I don't know, I got a feel.
All right, so Bradley Cooper is definitely the odd man out on this one.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not walking out of here. And seems like maybe Frida's going to vanquish all these people.
Frida for the win.
You are. What a good girl. You want to pant in the microphone for the listeners?
No fair. You're cheating.
I was coaxing her. I was coaching her. Oh, now you want
now
to
now she doesn't.
Of course. All right. So with that, we will go ahead and wrap up tonight's episode. I want to thank the guests. Thank you, Frida. Thank you for all of your picks.
Thank you for 100% effort, Frida.
You did a really good job. You watched all the movies, and you selected a recast for each one of the roles that we were talking about. What a good girl.
Oh, wow.
And I want to thank the engineer.
Oh. Ouch!
No. Thank you, Cherub Chelsea, for being here. I appreciate your opinion.
Thank you.
I understand. And that's what this conversation, this discourse is all about, is people sharing their opinions about film and about the kind of impact that it makes on our lives or lack thereof.
Right.
Right? And so anything that you want to plug while you're here?
Frida's bandana.
Oh, it's the shit, right? This is actually my bandana, and
it's
she
amazing.
Stole it.
It's amazing.
That's Gucci bandana, Hannah Montana. So also, we want to plug the podcast itself. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever platform it is that you're listening to us. We are hosted natively on podbean.com. We're Cinema Chop Shop on there. We have a Twitter handle. We're at Cinema Chop Shop. We post our new episodes. Also, that's where I do my movie check-ins, is the Cinema Chop Shop handle. Sean, what are your movie check-ins on?
A Windowless Van.
At A Windowless Van on Twitter. And our Facebook address, or our Facebook account, is facebook.com/cinemachopshop. And of course, our email address that we check frequently is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. Finally, the beers that we drank tonight on the show, we will check those in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we're Cinema Chop Shop on there as well. You can really just type Cinema Chop Shop into your search engine and you're going to get all our shit. Thank you to you, the engineer, Sean.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing what you do, as always. And what are your plugs?
I don't know if I've got anything to plug this week.
Maybe Right Answers with Ron Travis.
Well, I'll always plug that. Next week, we're doing cinema.
Cinema. All right. So if you're a listener of this show and you're in the Florence area, come out on Wednesday night to Seminar. That's seminarbrewing.com. And we're having our weekly trivia contest. And this week is going to be the cinema-themed contest. And you can win gift cards to Seminar. All right. Next week's episode
is our Oscar predictions.
Oscar predictions. And this is kind of a off week for us because we don't have to do a lot of homework.
Yeah.
Yep. Most of the movies that we're going to be talking about, we've already seen.
Now, you and Michelle, your lovely wife, Michelle, yes, have always done the Oscar predictions.
We do a Oscar pool or an Oscar bet. And last year was the first time I ever won. So our bet is that if she gets more right, I have to be her butler one day as her butler. And if I get more right, she has to be my maid. And this was the first year that I ever had a maid, even though it was only for one day. It was amazing. And I credit this show for giving me the background knowledge to beat her ass last year in the Academy Awards challenge. But we're going to do it again this year. And she's also planning on coming on the show to present her Oscar predictions in not all of the categories, but we're just going to do the main, like, bulk of the categories, right?
Right.
All right. So with that, we will say farewell to you, the listeners. Thank you for listening. And please remember to
watch, chop, retrofit,
and wash your Fritos.
Tip your bartender.